Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Pull up to my bumper, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's the preview show sponsored by Bet365. My name's Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore joins us.
All right.
And Pete Donaldson is always with us.
Is your bumper wide enough for both a lady and a gentleman?
You'll see. It's the Football Ramble preview show, everybody. I wouldn't rather be anywhere else, my goodness. Now, gather round.
We're already gathered very close.
As you well know.
Some would say too close.
Let me back into you. Peter.
Hello.
You were going to say something.
Was I?
Yeah, you were going to talk about the Champions League.
Pete, Pete. Well, I'm doing your job for you, am I? Yeah. Right, okay, here's the Football Ramble.
You're not a man who's in charge of your own mouth. You are going to say something.
Wow. You must get my opinions right.
Are you like one of those numbskulls that live in my head?
One of them.
I can't imagine I am.
No.
Don't expand on it.
But I'd like to think there's a little version of all of us in there.
Yeah.
To be fair.
On each shoulder.
Leicester are out of the Champions League.
Yeah. Idiots.
Dearie. But do you know what? It was, as Jim and I were talking about on Forza Ramble yesterday at our Facebook Live, I thought it was best case scenario in the end for Leicester, because they went out only 2 on an aggregate to a side who've been in the final twice that could go on and win it,
yeah,
rather than getting pumped.
It was very dignified, wasn't it?
Very dignified.
I mean, they were more dignified than perhaps Barcelona were against Juventus. I mean, there are occasionally absolute shellackings dished out on the Champions League.
I can't think of any.
Yeah, I was
going
to say. I'm surprised you said Barcelona when you were talking about dignified.
I think there'll be time for Arsenal later.
Yeah, okay.
Let's not go too early on that.
No.
You're right, Leicester left with dignity intact, pride intact, gave a good account of themselves.
Great second half, they nearly did it, I thought. Yeah.
I mean, Simeone was very gracious as well, wasn't he? He's come across very well.
Yeah, it's easy to be when you've won.
Well, true.
And you were always going to win. I think that you're right, Pete. It was a good second half. But let's not forget that Atletico Madrid are a better side, and they are one of the canniest teams on the planet. And had Leicester have got to 2-1, I'm pretty sure Atleti... I know in football it sort of swings and it's easy to say, but I think Atleti would have been okay.
I don't know how canny sticking 9 men behind the ball is, to be honest.
It works for them.
I know it works for them. It worked for them in this match, I know.
Newcastle should try it, haven't they?
Well, one would be good.
One behind the ball.
Yeah.
But I think I got the impression, I mean, no disrespect to Leicester City or their fans, but I get the impression that Atletico probably playing a bit within themselves. And you're right about that. I tweeted about them being canny. I said that them and Juventus, actually, I think Marcus, you and I spoke about it a couple of days ago, are the two most canny sides in world football. And what we mean by canny is that they're just streetwise.
Well, they can.
Wily. Yeah, they're just
good at canning.
They're all the tricks in the book, basically.
Well, a great example, we were talking about this yesterday on Forza Ramble as well, was the last kick of the game was Antoine Griezmann sort of bearing down on an open goal because Schmeichel would come out, but knowing there was about 10 seconds left on the clock. So just rolling it into the box, not even attempting to score, just getting the ball into space to run that clock down. And it's, you know, it's the management to the second.
He was probably thinking that. And Uncle Diego will be very proud of me.
For doing that. That's a goal.
And that's worth more than a goal. I will eat tonight.
I tell you what, if Let's Go Madrid get Juventus in the semi-final. Time of recording, obviously the draw's not been made.
That's going to be a chess match, isn't it?
Because Atleti on a sudden death penalty.
Quite. Atleti play like an Italian team, really, don't they? Sort of traditional kind of Catenaccio style.
The way they should decide that is either game of one hand of five card poker, a thumb war.
No, but you see, poker, it'll be stick or twist stick.
That's
it will still go to penalty.
That's blackjack.
Yeah, fair enough.
Don't play with them.
No, we've got to get the right game.
they'll just be so stubborn, it'll be unreal. But yeah. I think the draw I'd like to see those two kept separate, actually, because it'd be interesting to see if that type of streetwise mentality can actually win you the tourney.
I don't know. Yeah, I suppose it's great to see Monaco in there with what they've done. This they come from nowhere, really.
Yeah,
with that young squad in a sense. But I just. Cristiano Ronaldo is the type of man who just got his 100th Champions League goal, still got booed by the Real Madrid fans because it's not quite good enough.
What was the reason for that?
He should have got four.
Okay.
Sure they have their reasons.
I thought it was because two of those goals were offside and they are scrupulously fair.
Dan said after the game that he used to get whistled, and apparently even Di Stefano got whistled back in his day. So it's just something they do.
They love a whistle.
They'd love
full
a whistle.
Full of air.
But
when
Pete,
maybe
something related.
Pete and I were severely hungover, and it wasn't welcome, that whistling, when we were there last. But the other thing about the Real Madrid fans is, and there are a few probably that listen to this show, but certainly not many, so we're on safe territory here, is that when Atletico scored the equaliser in the Madrid derby last month, to go 1-1 with 5 minutes left, a lot of Real Madrid fans left.
There was an emptying out, wasn't there?
At 1-1 in a derby.
Disrupting my CD ting, to be honest.
If that was at Fratton Park, there would still be fans trying to get in. They're not going home.
There was a lot of the one Spanish swear word I know being bandied around as well at that point. It was amazing.
It's very multi-use, that one, isn't it, the P word?
Yeah. It is, yeah. What I was going to say is that obviously no team has defended the Champions League trophy, which is something that I'm sure most of us quite enjoy, that fact.
Yeah.
But especially in this day and age...
Makes it special.
Yeah, especially in this day and age with... normally there's three, four clubs at a push that are strong favourites for the Champions League. Mm. You're not going to get a Red Star Belgrade winner or something like that anymore. Although, I mean, I suppose Monaco would be the... perhaps a modern day equivalent, although they don't lack money, clearly.
It's not outrageous to have a team get to the semi, though, is it?
No, it isn't. But Dynamo Kiev are not going to do it again, that kind of thing. So it tends to be, now Atleti are in the conversation, Barcelona, maybe PSG, and Bayern Munich. So I think anyone but Real Madrid, because I would like that fact to be preserved. However, you look at Cristiano Ronaldo, the way he likes to just crap on records and all this kind of stuff, and blah, 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 and you just think, they're going to do it and he's going to get the winner.
What a career he's had, by the way. Obvious to say, but it's worth mentioning around the time that he scored his 100th Champions League goal. I mean, we're all here old enough to remember when he was on the same platform as Wayne Rooney a number of years ago now. Wayne Rooney's got 30 Champions League goals.
Yeah.
And which still isn't bad.
Cristiano Ronaldo's got 100.
Well, I mean, Shevchenko's got 59.
If you think about what a big deal it is when a player reaches 100 goals in a league, like it's always newsworthy. It's always a massive thing, isn't it? Yeah. To get 100 in the Champions League. Yeah. Phenomenal.
Well, again,
that might never be broken.
On Falls Around, Jim and I were saying that, you know, as I said, Shevchenko, who graced that tournament many, many times, 59 goals, which is a great record. And Raul, who was the top scorer in the Champions League for so many years, 71. Mm. I mean, Ronaldo's way ahead.
So Messi's on what, 94?
94.
Must be ahead.
If he plays for another 2 years, sir, he will probably go to a Champions League team, unless he goes to China or America or something like that. You'd imagine that he will just steamroll it, because he's playing more of a striking position now, so he's going to score more goals.
Well, you reckon he might hoover up some more strikes in the group stage?
150. I imagine it.
He's the sort of bloke who could probably score a Champions League on the group stage when he's like 60 years old.
Oh, yeah, easily.
A special mention for Juventus' performance against Barcelona because that was, to me, that was very, very satisfying to watch. Well, I like Barcelona and I love watching games like that at the very top level of football, because the technique and the tactics are fascinating. But they were just, I mean, Barcelona, who have been the defining team of this generation, you'd probably argue.
With that three in attack.
Right, the much lauded. I mean, Juventus, Chiellini and Bonucci with Buffon behind, they look like Barcelona could have played for hours and not scored. Yeah. I mean, they had something like 19 shots and one on target.
Well, there was that Messi one early on, if he'd have scored that, you know. But I take the point.
But Messi ending the game with a black eye is just testament to the sort of performance Juventus can put in that situation. You know, Messi's never scored against Buffon as well.
Well, okay,
which is quite a record.
I thought it was a better defensive performance than Newcastle. Atleti did. Because it was just way more organised for me. It wasn't just men behind the ball. They had the propensity to counter attack and catch them on the break. Nearly did a couple of times.
It was a better performance. I'd like Juventus to get Real Madrid. I think that would be.
And how do you think that would play out? Do you think Juventus could win that?
Yeah, I think Juventus' squad, you look at the balance of that side, they are so good at the back. I know Buffon's getting on in years, but he's still a decent keeper, of course. Mm. And the creativity they have in midfield and going forward, that is such a brilliantly balanced squad.
I know you're a big fan of Paulo Dybala.
Paulo Dybala.
Yeah. Well, you enjoy saying it like Paulo Dybala, from what I remember.
I enjoy the fact that his name is essentially Paul in English, and he's nicknamed the Jewel. Yeah. And you add two and two together, and you've got Paul the Jewel.
Mm.
Paul
Don't Jewel. Paul the DVD Jewel.
Come on. It's a family show.
It's time to talk about the Premier League, ladies and gentlemen. After that, after Champions League talk, we come back down to earth to the Premier League with Swansea versus Stoke.
You know what you've done.
I do, yes. Well, it's a big game for Swansea in particular. It's must win, according to Paul Clement, of course. Mm. And let's hope they put on a better display than they did against Bournemouth. Did you see or hear Graeme Souness's rant the other day about this? It was quite stunning.
He's no longer satisfied by football in this country, I don't think.
Yeah.
He said
he went to see Swansea play Bournemouth, wasn't impressed. He says, what we can't have is this tippy-tappy football.
we can't have it.
Yeah. Can't have it.
It's not that I don't like it. We cannot have it.
We must put a stop to this.
Yeah.
It's a problem that needs weeding out.
So forget all the Champions League chat we just had there, everybody.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example. I went to watch Bournemouth play Swansea 3 weeks ago and I came away thinking, I didn't enjoy that. Others may have done.
He also said the best bit was, he said there was no real anger in the game.
Yeah, it's like
there wasn't the terraces, Graham.
Yeah.
It's like a retired bouncer who's getting sort of misty eyed about kicking people.
Yeah,
you know, he can't do it anymore and he's sad.
Or a retired police officer who's a bit like a Life on Mars type character. He used to love the fact that he could rough up a suspect.
Yeah.
It's all forms now, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like he can no longer get like the tacit endorsement of like the local community for roughing up a vagabond because someone's got to keep the old little scropes in line.
I can't plant a bag of cocaine on a photocopier.
it got results.
It did. He said it was like watching a Dutch game of football. Not a euphemism again. Lots of pretty passes, but there was no fire. No one smashing into someone. I mean, I think that's a good thing, Graham. There was no real anger in the game, as Luke said. It was all about, well, we'll outpass you and maybe we'll get a goal. And
we'll outpass you, that's sort of what football is.
Well, yeah. The thing is, right, if he wants a more direct style, which Leicester did employ to nearly decent effect against Atletico Madrid, that's a perfectly valid way of playing the game. Mm. Tends not to get you World Cups and European Championship wins and so on and so forth, but you can play the game like that. But the fact that you can play directly and not smash into people.
Fights.
Oh, we need that.
I agree with Paul Clement, by the way, or Paul Clement, that this is definitely a must-win game for Swansea. I mean, we talked about this a week or two ago, I think, where we said that The bounce they've had and the sort of the performances and the results they've got have started to peter out a little bit. And if you look, if it wasn't for Sigurdsson, who's got a decent number of goals and assists for a team who are struggling this season, if it wasn't for him, given that Llorente has sort of massively come off the boil, hasn't done much for a while now, has he? They're sort of pinning all their hopes on those two players to get them goals. And, you know, at home to Stoke, there's never really a better chance to do it because Stoke, I know they were decent enough last time out, but they don't really have anything to go with now. They're a lot on there with your sort of Southamptons and those types of teams who are looking at their holiday. So they massively need to win. They're 4-7 with Bet365 to be relegated from this year's Premier League, and £10 on that will return £15.71, including the stake. If they don't win this, there are other chances left, but they're going to play harder games this season than that.
Yeah, they will be in trouble. I wonder if Stoke will start Wilfred Bonny just because you know he'd score.
Because of the narrative. Because narrative trumps all.
Because of Pete's narrative.
Yeah. Pete, would you like to see that narrative appear?
I'd just like to see any narrative appear, from the Hungry Caterpillar to Flat Stanley. As long as narratives appear, I don't mind.
Don't get yourself...
What a wide-ranging bookshelf you must have.
Sorry, War and Peace.
Dan Brown.
Digital Fortress.
Don't get your samurai sword out and wave it about.
I'll tell you what.
That was a winner.
And that's what Paul Clement will be saying to his team beforehand.
Well, Graham Souness will be in there with an actual samurai sword.
One hand and an axe in the other, just banging them together.
Imagine if they cut to Graham Souness at the entry. Introduce the pundits, and Souness is sat there topless.
Yeah,
because I reckon he's probably in good nick for a man.
He's covered in blood, but you sense it's not his.
War paint, blood, a samurai sword, and an axe. No, well, actually, one of those maces that they had in medieval times.
Souness,
we talk about those maces a lot more than we should. The Morningstar,
maybe he's got that in his teeth.
Morningstar,
just dangling down.
The reason I talk about that is, do you know why? Because I was at Arundel Castle for Bank Holiday weekend, and they did add this.
You criticise what I do with my time, getting drunk and going to Japan and stuff.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm just saying.
Carry on.
You're so Partridge.
And your clothes. And your clothes.
Yeah, my clothes. Carry on.
Yeah. I was in a library on the weekend.
Hated it.
Carry on. Just
because you like getting drunk in the Far East and I like educating myself. Yeah. I'm not judging you for that.
Just to be fair, different kind of education, mate.
Pete isn't getting educated. He's giving people an education.
Yeah.
Quite
yes. And STDs.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
Pete. He's stitching himself up. It's fine. Let him do it.
Yeah.
Goodness me. Anyway, speaking of not that.
Yeah. Anything but that. Yeah.
That sentence should be used a lot more on this show when I'm speaking.
It should be. Look, Swansea versus Stoke. Swansea need to win. It's not going to be a barn burn.
Go back to your castle story.
It's not, well, I was an Arundel castle and had a display that half the castle is made up of...
Portsmouth memorabilia.
Do you know what I mean? Pete doesn't think that maybe the listeners want to hear it. you should get yourself down there. It's got lovely grounds. There's a tulip festival at the moment. Yeah. Very pretty. Yeah,
people dressed like Peter down there.
No. They wouldn't, he wouldn't get
tulip
in.
Tulip festival.
He would not get in.
Although to Pete, the tulip festival. Oh, no.
Ironically speaking, Pete's the sort of guy who would dress in like a jerkin, like a doublet, like a medieval doublet, because he saw some people down the Groucho wearing it.
Yeah.
Wrestle this back, Marcus.
Google the Groucho if you don't know what that is. It's not worth your time. Swansea versus Stoke. Are we done or should we move on?
Yeah, let's move on.
Okay.
Actually, one interesting thing, given the battle at the moment, that's one thing I saw today. The team that Swansea secured their league status against in 2003, when it looked like they might drop out of the Football League altogether, was Hull. So, what a journey for both clubs.
That is incredible.
There's a lot of teams who've had that journey. We talked about Brighton, Bournemouth, of course, Swansea, Hull. Yeah, a lot of them have done Portsmouth on the line.
I was about to say. Will Hartlepool ever get a mention in that kind of bracket, Peter? Will you put some money into that club?
Yeah, Pete, when are you going to do your takeover?
Yeah.
You and Jeff Stelling?
Yeah.
Well, I sort of know that.
What about the guy, the canoe man? He must have a few quid.
Yeah. Well, he clearly doesn't. He's
why
in
would
prison,
he have a few quid? For some reason,
he got arrested for fraud, Marcus.
So he must. He knows how to get it somewhere.
There's never been actual money in Donald Trump kind of money. You know what I mean?
To be fair, he could probably pass the fit and proper persons test.
That's what I mean.
Fit and proper canoeist.
Yeah. Go on. What were we saying?
I can't even remember, Marcus. No, when to move on. Come on. Mentioned the canoe man.
I was trying.
You're both
to
telling each other how to do your jobs today. It's weird.
Burnley versus Manchester United.
Thank you,
ladies and gentlemen. Pete, you're keen to talk a lot about this game.
Well, Burnley versus Manchester United. If the Red Devils win this, they'll be one point of Man City in fourth.
They will.
The Red Devils.
That's what Marcus wrote on the running order.
No, why'd you do that? You stole something from me, I let you run away with it, and then you turned yourself in. Crying out loud.
Cleanliness is next to godliness, Marcus, as you well know.
What does that mean?
That's a direct quote from the Bible. Don't question me, question the Bible.
No, I'm questioning the context of it.
Okay. That's all right, then.
It is remarkable, though. If Manchester United win that game, they'll be 1 point off Manchester City.
It's been a slow grind, isn't it?
It has, yeah. With Man City, they've always been in the top four this season. And, they obviously haven't been challenging for the league title, per se, for a number of weeks now. And Manchester United were very accustomed to sixth place, have moved up since then. They're right up there with Man City. I was quite surprised when I was looking at that one, because Manchester United, I know Burnley away is a tough fixture, as this season's often proved to be, but they should win the game.
Their away form has been really strong, though, hasn't it? Mm. So I would think they're going to win this game as well. Obviously, they're playing in the Europa League at the moment, so they're putting a lot of focus on that. But I think they're going to have enough to overpower Burnley as well. I think, partly as well, you might wonder if Michael Keane's head has been turned by Man United, because there's a lot of talk of him going back there. There was an announcement today that he will be leaving Burnley. So pretty much everyone seems to be. It was reported on Sky, so who knows where it's come from. Obviously, he's going to be unsettled by
that. They've been looking at Twitter then. Yeah. Every time you see the yellow bar, Sky Sources, Twitter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Michael Keane could be re-signed by Manchester United. He was sold under Louis van Gaal.
Cheers, Louis.
Louis van Gaal, the players that left and the players that came in, the players, one or two that have left, people say, well, should we re-sign them? And those who have left, they sold for enormous fees, like Di Maria and so
but
on.
The,
not all the time.
On top of that, next time Anthony Martial scores a goal, it costs them £8.5 million. Mm. So, again, thanks, Louis.
Yeah. Part of their transfer policy appears to be let players go and then just sign them back for massive fees, like the old Paul Pogba thing. But the Man United league position thing is interesting, because everyone seems to have moved into a mode over the last couple of months or so, which is that essentially just everyone agrees, in quotes, that United's best chance of getting into the Champions League is winning the Europa League. Mm. When actually, all they've got to do is win their league games, really, because everyone else seems
it's in
to
their hands, isn't it? Yeah.
With the exception of Spurs and to a slightly lesser extent Chelsea, who are miles ahead of them anyway, everyone seems to be slipping up here and there. Everyone seems vulnerable. And United could easily just, by slightly improving their home form, I know they don't lose too many, but they draw quite a lot of games. If they just won the games that were there in front of them, they would be able to get into the top four.
Do you think that's actually maybe a little bit of a Mourinho masterstroke in sort of putting it out there that they're focusing more on the Europa League? So teams are sort of, you know, underestimating them a little bit in the league.
Do you know, Zlatan said that everything Jose Mourinho says is a game. It's an ulterior motive to it. Like everything, you know, don't take anything you say he says on face value. And I think Zlatan also said that works fine for me because I'm so self-motivated, it doesn't affect me anyway. But I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Mourinho says to his squad at the start of every season, don't pay any attention to anything I say in the press. The only thing you need to worry about from me is what you hear in the dressing room or the training ground, all that sort of stuff. Everything else is just part of it. Leave it to me.
Apart from you, Schweinsteiger.
And you, Luke Shaw. Yeah. And you, Martial.
Yeah. Even Luke Shaw. Yeah. I think, I maintain, I mean, we had a debate about this a while back, and, you know, maybe there's not time to go back into it. The Luke Shaw thing, I didn't necessarily think was a huge deal anyway. He clearly knows the player. He knows how to get the best out of him. He knows what he wants to do with Luke Shaw, and clearly he knows Luke Shaw better than anyone else the press does. So it may prove to be effective.
It may well do. We're going to talk about the FA Cup semi-finals after this.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Dion Dublin, and when I'm not banging my tube, I'm listening to the Football Ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show, everybody. Do not forget the 27th of May. It's Hackney Empire time, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be an absolute hoot. It's our end of season party. The only live show we're going to do over the summer. You're all invited.
Pete's going to buy every single last one of you at least one beer.
And a big one as well.
There we go. Yeah.
Double pinter.
A yard.
So you buy
You bring in your double pinter?
Yeah.
Bring in your yard.
Everyone's got a drink out the same yard.
Pete, little fact for you guys as well. Pete never goes to any live show without at least 5 strawpedo things, one in each pocket.
Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah,
I walk
and
around
one of those strawpedo hats. You can get now.
Yeah,
I walk around with like shots. I'm like a shot girl in a
yes,
high class nightclub.
Like a belt, a bullet belt, but just with shots in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Lovely.
Red Bull and stuff.
You can get tickets
as they all say.
Yeah,
you want Red Bull and stuff.
You can get tickets on the Hackney Empire website and look at our social media feeds. It's all over the place, ladies and gentlemen. It's all there. It's very easy for you to do. Mm. We'll be disappointed if you don't show up. Damn it all. Right, let's have some emails with Pete Donaldson.
All right then.
Go on then, Peter. Hit us with your best one, too.
Michal Maguire. Hello, Michal.
Oh, Michal's again. He always gets in touch.
Well, he's getting in touch again.
Friend of the Ramble. I can't remember what the relative quality of his emails are like. Yeah. We're about to find out, but
well,
he's always
in a lot. So that must be all right.
Judge this is a high watermark or not.
Yeah.
On the subject of meeting footballers.
Okay, good start.
I'd like to contribute my time working at a casino in South Manchester. I used to have to work the gold room for VIPs because Gail Givet came in once when he just opened while playing for Blackburn, and I was the one who spoke the best French.
Okay. Yeah, well,
somehow the powers that be decided this qualified me to deal with a whole load of other non-French speaking but similarly high value customers. A couple of faces seen were Kenwyn Jones, who refused to play the gold room, would instead sit in the corner of the main customer floor with ladies. Danny Webber who played the regular poker room and seemed genuinely surprised that anyone had ever heard of him, despite being in a Man United heartland. Fabio.
That's like the opposite to you, Pete.
Yeah.
Being surprised that anyone's heard of him. You're the opposite to that.
I'm like, yeah, give me my VIP room, I say. Yeah. Fabio, who turned up expecting a tour from our pit bosses, only to realise that it had been given to a different customer who looked a little bit like Fabio, but in fact worked in a nearby bowling alley.
Was it Raphael?
Yeah, right, yeah. Exactly.
Well, it's particularly ironic, given that he does have an identical twin.
Yeah.
Then Man City youth teamer Andrea Mancini, son of Roberto, would come in and just chuck money around, currently playing at New York Cosmos in the Nazzle, and presumably annoying casino employees there.
There's something very, very modern football special about a player who has, as far as I'm aware, not made anything more than like a handful of first-team appearances, still being able to go into like places and chuck money around.
A casino, where the very idea is that you throw money about, to still be opulent in there, is quite impressive.
Someone was saying to me a while back, I forget who it was now, that we're not far away from having the first £1 million player who's never played a game, who's earned £1 million from the game without actually having played a game.
Well, there's that remarkable story of that Brazilian fella who made a career in the game.
Oh, he never actually played?
Yeah, maybe he got like the odd substitution appearance, sort of 10 minutes here and there. But he went and played in France from Brazil. He used to say, I'm Romario's best mate and all this kind of stuff. So have a Google about that, that's quite amazing.
What he did is he spent a lot of time, in quotes, injured, didn't he? And built up decent friendships with other players. And so they would convince other teams to sign him and stuff, and he never really did anything. Yeah, I remember that.
He had a career for 10, 12 years or something stupid like that.
Yeah. What's next, Donny?
Hello to Mo Ali.
Okay.
Big Mo.
On the suggestion of Pete, I thought I would buy a Blackwing pencil. Quick Amazon search, at £32.50 for a pack of 12, I thought, F off Donaldson.
Yeah, that's a great example. We all know this because we know him, how out of touch Pete is with the average man.
I'm not out of touch. Woman. I just spend my money
wisely.
Unwisely.
You're not out of touch. You're recommending normal people buy £32.
Do you know what my last purchase was?
Here we go.
It was a couple of days ago.
Can this be a feature, actually? Tell us everything you buy.
So this.
We need receipts.
So this. Set of scientists came up with the darkest material.
Oh, I heard about this.
Vanta something. Yeah. Vanta Black.
People down alleyways don't give receipts.
Vanta Black. And it's the darkest material known to man. It doesn't reflect any light. It's actually quite hard to photograph because it doesn't reflect any light.
It's like a black hole, basically.
Yeah, it's like a black hole. Anyway, a famous British artist, I can't remember who it was. Is Anish Kapoor an artist?
Yeah. Did you buy a black hole?
Yeah.
I bought a big black hole.
How much do you want for that? 100 quid. It's just a blackboard. No, actually. Was it Derek Trotter?
If you're in real trouble, jump through that. They'll never get you.
So Vanta Black is the darkest material known to man. And Anish Kapoor signed a licensing deal to be the only artist who can use that paint.
Right, okay.
Artistically. And so another British artist, sold £10 bottles of the darkest material he could make,
right,
using similar techniques and on the cheap. And he expressly said on the website, not for sale to Anish Kapoor.
And you bought some?
And I thought, I'm not Anish Kapoor, I can have some.
How much is it?
But now on the website it says Anish Kapoor and Pete Donaldson.
Only a tenner.
The fact that this story ends with Pete only spending a tenner
£4 delivery.
I feel very happy with him, actually.
Do you feel shortchanged?
Yeah, a little bit.
Maybe I'm getting better. Yeah. Good day, dear Ramblers. This one's from Michael Buchan. B-U-C-H-A-N.
Buchan, yeah.
I'd like to draw your attention to the little spoken about Highland League, which as of writing has a heck of a close title race, with Brough Rangers having finished the season on 81 points. Bucky Thistle are behind them with 79 points, but one game against poor opposition. So most likely they will be top by Saturday. Here's the twist in Bucky's tale, though. Last game out, they had a player, Callum Murray, back from Devon Vale, and he was an unused sub. Problem is, they hadn't registered him, so they may very well get a points deduction when the league board meet on Thursday night, the 20th of April. What a way to end your season.
They're meeting now. Man. They're meeting right now.
Incredible. Enjoy the show, lads, even though I believe that Aberdeen don't get enough airtime for how great they are.
Okay. I disagree with that.
Yeah. I mean, what I would say is
Aberdeen get a fair crack in the week.
I do too.
What I would say is that Michael did end his email by writing a friend of Football Weekly. Who read your message out?
Yeah.
Do they even do emails?
What's his name?
Or do they get some Guardian admin assistant to read them out for him?
What's his name?
Michael.
You dick.
Hey. Hey, steady. Do you want to hear another football tipping story?
Of course. Yes, please.
This goes back about 10 years. This is from Rob, a proud Scot. 10 years when I was working at university, working for a temporary catering agency on a job at Livingston FC. I was working in the supporters club behind the bar when a fresh-faced youth player wandered up to the bar in full Livingston FC tracksuit and requested three blue WKDs.
Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah.
To which I replied, "Have you got any ID?" His response was, "Don't you know who I am? I'm Robert Snodgrass." I hit him back with, "I do now, and I know you're 17, so it will be a soft drink."
Oh, needless to say, I had the last laugh.
I think there's a little bit of l'esprit d'escalier, kind of, you know, the whole thought you have on the stairwell.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean.
I think maybe.
I also think it takes a very special human being to be able to order seriously three blue WKDs while wearing a full tracksuit.
Yeah. Yeah. Finally, for now, Ben Norris comes in with when Gazza was at Spurs, he used to do a tip incredibly well, 50 quid usually. When he came in for TGI Fridays, he used to have a bacon cheeseburger and a chocolate milkshake. Ian Wright and Sol Campbell on occasion would leave nothing.
Right.
So there we go.
I can believe that of the Sol man.
Yeah. Disappointed in writing.
Same. And you know what? Gascoigne's dishing out £50 tips in the early 90s.
I was about to say that the meal wouldn't have been that much.
No, and also, we had a couple of people on Twitter. One person got in touch saying that they got tipped £10, or it might have been £13, by Preston striker Richard Cresswell.
Oh, that's right.
At a Pizza Hut. So big spread.
£13.
If we can definitely confirm that the Gascoigne £50 story, he goes straight to the top of the table above Sven, who only tipped 30.
Yeah.
So good on Gascoigne. You'd imagine that of Paul Gascoigne, though, wouldn't you? Yeah. Very generous chap, I expect.
Throwing away money.
Yeah, well, quite.
But yes, I know what you mean. Shall we go to the FA Cup?
Yes.
It's Chelsea versus Spurs. Conte and Pochettino. Big one.
Absolutely bloody excited for these weekends.
Yeah.
Semi-finals. It's going to be fantastic.
Sometimes it's a shame when it is just the massive teams in the semis, because you think, like a Wigan, for example, are not going to win the tournament, and there's not much fairy tale. And then you think to yourself, but we are going to get two of the big boys playing each other, which is always an intriguing one. And the tactics as well, especially from Conte and Pochettino.
And in the light of the title race as well.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
I think a few people have come out and said it's not going to make any difference. You know, a couple of players have said, it doesn't make any difference to Arsenal. I think it's massive. I think it really is massive. I think psychologically, really important.
Psychological blows are at stake here, Luke.
Indeed. And
that's just at the Football Ramble.
And Spurs have been playing the best football in the country for quite some time now. And for my money, you know, clearly, you know, we have a system of working out who the best team is throughout the season. It's the league table, and that's fine. But for the last however many few weeks and months, Spurs have been the best team in the country. Yeah. So, but the fly in the ointment for them is clearly this Wembley thing. And they've won one game at Wembley since 2008. Mm. And they've played a few times.
They are drawn away in this fixture.
That might count.
Press is all on Chelsea. That's a strange one. Eric Dyer's been talking about Spurs' versatility, saying that last season they pretty much played in the same formation with similar tactics in every game, but this year they're mixing it up a lot, but they're all very comfortable in how they do that and how they manage that within a game. And I think, you know, they were fantastic last year, but they've stepped it up even more this season. You can actually see that.
Yeah,
because they look undaunted by everything. Right. You don't necessarily notice them mixing that up, but that's probably...
The difference as well is that, you know, Chelsea had a bit of bad luck at Old Trafford, which went sort of quite underreported. It was the fact that Courtois got injured fairly late on. Alonso was ill, and I think Moses might have been as well.
Costa was under the weather as well, because the bug's been going around their group. Apparently.
Right, so fine. But I actually think that Spurs would deal with that better. I mean, they seem to have players who just slot in, and they can adapt.
Well, they did
to
it at Upton Park that time.
How long ago was that? Talk about that. That's ridiculous. So the fact is now that they have versatility of tactics and a versatility of players who can come in to cope with that a lot better. I mean, the problem is this Wembley thing, and I think it's probably related to the pitch size. We'll be fascinated to see how they cope with that, because Pochettino seems to be like a manager who likes a challenge, who likes to overcome these obstacles, and he's spent a bit of time building this team now, and I think he'll see this as a huge part of their development if they can win a game against a team like Chelsea at Wembley for obvious reasons, but also because of this Wembley problem they've had. And I was actually at the semi-final last time they played Chelsea.
5-1.
Yeah,
I was there with you.
And didn't Spurs have a goal disallowed erroneously as well?
Oh, right.
It was over the line, wasn't it? And it wasn't given because we didn't have the old video tech.
Drogba scored an absolute belter.
It was one of the best goals I've ever seen live. Yeah, it's fantastic. So, look, it's been a fascinating game. Chelsea are 17-10 to beat Spurs with Bet365. So, £10, that returns £27, including stake.
It's an interesting one. And both sides dominate the PFA team
absolutely.
Of the year.
They do, yeah. And rightly so.
You would expect.
Yeah, you got Lukaku.
No Victor Moses, though.
No, Lukaku's in there and...
which is a disgrace, Jim.
And Mane's in there and De Gea, I think, isn't he? And that's pretty much it, apart from Chelsea and Spurs.
Yeah, both Spurs fullbacks. Kane and Ali, isn't it?
One of the things that was great about this game as well, the Spurs-Chelsea game, which is clearly the biggest game for a while now, is the old PR mind games about this Alderweireld story being leaked.
Yeah.
Out.
Oh, yeah.
So
yes.
if you dig under the surface, this thing, people that, you know, 3 days before a big semi-final between these two teams, a journalist who's very close to Antonio Conte puts out that Alderweireld's got a release clause in his contract and that he's not signed a new one and all this other stuff. Which essentially, when you dig down, we won't go into all the sort of boring details, but it's essentially untrue.
Mm. Yeah.
But it's classic PR tactic. Mm, yeah. Like before the game, how can we unsettle their best defender?
You know? Well, Diego Costa's been unsettled.
Quite
clearly, and you look into that and you think, yeah, that the Chinese club Tianjin Guangxian reportedly still have a $620,000 a week
it's
deal on the table.
Isn't it?
It's enough to turn anyone's head.
I'll be finding it very hard to concentrate.
I would have neck problems with that.
I'm struggling now.
Donaldson
even
buying. What you Donaldson be buying with that?
I'd cover myself in that paint.
Yeah. You wouldn't be able to see him.
And therefore make me good at football.
It's something for you.
Yeah, true.
Ghosting in at the back.
Look at that floating kit.
Yeah. Oh, it's the 12th man. It's Pete Donaldson.
It's something for you, though. If Chelsea fail to win the league this season, you could argue, I think fairly successfully, that it's mostly Diego Costa's fault. He's their frontline striker. He's done absolutely nothing of note, other than, I think, 3 goals since January when he had his head turned.
He hasn't scored in the last 5 games, and that's the first time he's gone that long without a goal in England.
Disgraceful, so in my opinion. Disgraceful.
Well, as Jim said, why not give Batshuayi another?
Yeah, he doesn't seem
roll with the dice.
What I was saying was actually, like, he doesn't seem to have much faith in him, does he? So, with that in mind, maybe he feels he can't. Maybe he's just got to persevere with Costa.
I think with Costa, though, like, you would imagine, and Conte would know him very well, of course, you would imagine with Costa that if you can just, if you will, put his head and focus him back on the task in hand, then he'll be away.
But he's had 3 months to do that.
Well, he has had 3 months to do that. But you know what it's like? It must be like for a manager. You think, this guy, if we can just do it, we nearly had it there. We had a little glimpse of it there. You just keep on persevering, because obviously he doesn't rate Batshuayi as high as Costa, and rightly so, because Costa's been superb largely in the Premier League. And it would be very interesting which Costa turns up.
It would be interesting if, I mean, I imagine he will start against Spurs, but he was dreadful at Old Trafford.
Yeah.
He just didn't offer anything
at all.
But
to be fair to him, he was ill.
Oh, yeah, so. Come on, get on with it.
Well, maybe there's a little bit of, I don't know, taking your foot off the gas with Chelsea there. Maybe because I think it was only a league game. We wrapped up the league a couple of months ago.
Donny's ill every week and he doesn't complain.
What?
You're always ill, aren't you? You're still muscular.
I'm a poorly boy.
Yeah, exactly. You still get someone with
I'll
it.
It's sort of become the norm, though.
The listeners wouldn't know.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, he still delivers.
But the sickly child of the ramble.
But that becomes the norm for Pete. And when he gets well, he goes straight to Japan.
That's true.
He's off. He's like, I'm using this.
Yeah.
Reboot. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What do you think? Well, Romelu Lukaku apparently wants to return to Chelsea. He'd be an obvious replacement for Diego Costa.
Well, I can see why they want him.
Yeah,
I
right,
can
exactly.
definitely see why they want him.
And apparently Bournemouth are favourites to cite John Terry. And there were some lovely lovely ones on, I think people saying on Twitter and whatnot, Terry the Cherry.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, that
was enjoyable.
I mean, presumably that story is just because they can use that headline.
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
As you say.
I heard on Tuesday from decent sources. I mean, I don't know that many people in football, obviously, but I've heard it from a few decent sources that he's a shoe-in to go to West Brom. And the link is that he had a chance to go to Bournemouth in January, but didn't go. So I heard that he's going to go to West Brom.
Terry the Cherry.
Do you want a quick South Coast update, Luke?
I should be giving you a South Coast update.
A little South Coast email. This is from Sean Wrong Phillips. lads, this week Luke said he likes the unimaginative name of Banks of Dee, who are named so because they are on the banks of the Dee. I wonder if there are any teams based at the mouth of a port.
Yeah, but I didn't actually. But that's fine, and I do get the joke. But I wasn't actually keen on them. I was saying I quite liked it. I wasn't saying I didn't like it.
You said it was unimaginative.
Yeah, true. Okay, fair point.
To be fair, had we really picked up on that, you know, Liverpool, Manchester United.
When you're angry about a listener, you always ask their name at the end of the email.
Paul
Smith.
What's his address?
Of Maximal Park.
Can we get him blocked?
Bill Carr.
Yeah.
Any more with Chelsea Spurs? Because I'm ready to talk about Arsenal versus Manchester City.
Big one.
Yeah. I mean, there's talk of a back three again for Arsenal.
There might be back threes with Chelsea, I suppose. There might be back threes with that. I mean,
Back threes.
Exactly, yeah. It could be incredible.
But what I would say is Man City don't have any good central defenders. Why do they want to play an extra one?
Well, Vincent Kompany's not
playing. Any joke.
but they might be missing John Stones. Could be without Bakary Sagna, which could be crucial in Pep Guardiola's decision, perhaps.
Mm. And there's talk of Gabriel Jesus making a surprise return
as
well.
That would be something, wouldn't it?
I would love that. Apparently he's been back in training.
Oh, great. Wasn't he initially due to come back on Easter Sunday? Was that just a brilliant joke?
Yeah, there's another one, Terry the Cherry, I think. Well, I mean, I'll stand corrected on the John Terry thing. Fine, but I mean, yeah, why let the truth get in the way of a good headline? That's a fairly good adage, I think.
Yeah. Of course, yeah.
So I'm interested to see if Rob Holding starts. I'm fairly certain he will, because he played very well against Palace. And if Arsenal do go with the back three, which I think they will.
Wasn't it against Middlesbrough he played well?
Sorry, it was against Middlesbrough. Yeah, nobody played well against Palace.
What game were you watching?
They weren't even that, I mean, the thing is, they weren't even that convincing against Middlesbrough. Probably should have got a point.
But Holding did stand out as having a good game within the storm that is Arsenal's defence. So it'd be nice to see a little bit more of him, because there needs to be some injection needs to come in, something different, even if it is a young player. So that's maybe a little bit of light there.
Why is he not a midfielder, that lad? Just a defensive midfielder.
It's annoying, isn't it? It's like, do you remember Spurs had that defender called Defendi? Yeah. Why wasn't he the greatest player that ever defended?
That's good.
It'd be great if it turned out later on that he changed his name to that.
Pick me, please, boss.
Are you worried for Arsenal, Luke, that they could get hammered here?
Do you think Luke's ever that worried for Arsenal?
No, I'll have a lovely time. I do think there is one of these sort of situations where when it's a high profile game at Arsenal. Mm. Before the kickoff, you do sort of fear for them a little bit. Mm. I mean, after a couple of minutes, you can generally tell that they are either going to be okay or they're going to have a terrible afternoon. Mm-hmm. And if they start off fairly settled, you know they're going to be okay, because they are capable of doing all right against a good team.
They sometimes just forget that.
And their record again in the FA Cup recently is absolutely fantastic. You know, and they've beaten some good teams as well. So I wouldn't fear for them. No, I mean, whatever happens, I love FA Cup semi final weekend. It's fantastic. Mm. I'll have a great time whatever happens to them. So whatever torment you're going through, hopefully it'll be salved. The wound to know that I'll be having a great time.
All right, mate. Well, give me a ring if it's going particularly badly. Yeah. I'll need cheering up.
Every time I do that, you never answer.
But I think actually, genuinely, it might be a little bit of a break from the league as well, from all the sort of chaos going on there. So, I mean, I think Arsenal probably aren't really expected to win this game. I think you'd have City as the slight favourites. Mm. So there's a bit of pressure off there.
But you definitely have Man City's favourites.
Yeah, they are favourites. Arsenal 10-3 with Bet365 to beat Man City. £10 returns £43.33, including stake. Manchester City are 15-8 to win the cup. They're favourites, I think. So, pretty interesting stuff. The thing is with Arsenal, like I said, they've got a good record in the cup. Mm. And what tends to happen with this whole thing about Wenger is because the light and the fire burns so brightly with Arsenal fans, especially this season, you get an impression that they're worse than they actually are.
Yeah, of course.
And haven't they won two FA Cups in the last 3 years?
But if you look at the opponents they faced in the latter rounds, I can't remember in the previous rounds, I'm sure they beat, you know, at least one or two of the big sides. But didn't they play Reading? And wasn't it Hull in the final, Aston Villa in the other final, but it was Reading in one semi-final, and wasn't it Sheffield United or somebody in the other semi-final?
Possibly.
They've beaten big teams along the way.
Yeah.
They definitely have. You have to.
Of course, but
but it's not like they've been sort of slaying every sort of giant of English football.
Well, that's the draw, isn't it?
I mean,
Portsmouth played easy teams in the FA Cup in 2008, but they won at Old Trafford. People forget that.
Portsmouth, you won't mind me saying, were bloody lucky that year.
No.
But what I would say is, When the window of opportunity presents itself, and it did to Portsmouth, you've got to take it.
Yeah, of course.
Liverpool did with Champions League.
When that man's bell peels out, the man with the tattoos.
I told you about that earlier in the week. I don't want to talk about him anymore. I'll bet the week with Bet365 because old JK is no longer in the hot seat.
Yeah.
Farewell, JK. We hardly knew ye.
He did well, though.
This one's come from Ed Baker, and he says, "Dear Ramblers, Bournemouth versus Middlesbrough is my bet of the week to be 0-0 at 10-1. Bournemouth haven't been great this season and may struggle to break down Middlesbrough, and Middlesbrough literally have forgotten how to do goals." Best of luck, Ed Baker. Well, best of luck to you, Ed Baker, because you're in the hot seat and it's your bet of the week.
And you sound a little bit like knockoff clothing from a market.
I was about to say,
Ed Baker. Do you know what I thought to myself? He sounds a bit like he could be a Doctor Who.
Yeah.
The Doctor, as he's called, the character. Mm. People get that wrong, don't they? The show is Doctor Who. The character is the Doctor.
Oh,
is that right?
Grow up, everyone. Yeah. Well, that's what I say.
Listen, if you spend enough time at Arundel Castle, mate,
you don't
learn
that in Japan, do you?
£50 on that at 10-1 with Bet365 will return a colossal £550, including stake, with proceeds, of course, going to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble and gamble responsibly. For more information, go to gambletheword.co.uk. So that is 10-1. 0-0 between Bournemouth and Middlesbrough. If there's a goal at any point, obviously this bet is all over. It's a brave selection from Ed, but that's what we like from a man. That's what we expect from a man who sounds like he could be the Doctor from Doctor Who.
That's right. That is absolutely right. Let's look ahead to the weekend.
Yes, look ahead to the weekend with some of our lovely listeners, some of which have emailed in already, Pete. Thanks for that.
Yes.
This is from Jamie Glyn Bale. He says, Ramble Granada fan here, so not much to look forward to apart from guessing what style of Briton Tour suit and tie combo Senor Adams will be wearing in sunny Sevilla this weekend. So I'll be focusing on looking forward to seeing if Luke has finally finished that book or we'll get a... Well, I'm reading Ancelotti's book and he says for the sixth straight Ramble. Oh, you're hard. Oh, what's wrong with reading books, Jamie? Yeah. Judging by some of the grammar on that message, mate, you can read a few more yourself.
Luke, did you pay for that book yourself?
No.
Right.
Didn't. Don't buy
have some respect.
Don't need to.
Don't need to. Shoplifter.
Yeah. And I've got another one here. I did have three. I selected three. Pete's already read one of them out, so cheers, Pete. So I'm going to do this one. I'm looking forward to Newcastle fucking up promotion.
Dig at Donaldson.
The sense of dread is growing.
Well, if we win on Monday, we'll be all right.
That's from Joe Dimmer. You didn't even say it with any sort of conviction at all, Pete. How worried are you, my old son?
I've said it before, I think we'll be all right, but we're not looking like we're going to bother the Premier League next season, do we? If they do drop into the playoffs, we are not going up on this form.
Confidence would just be through the floor, wouldn't it, if you blew it at that point?
If Newcastle United drop into the playoffs, I would put my house on them not going up. There's absolutely no way you can raise that.
They wouldn't get the final.
Oh, is Ashley's checkbook going to get a dusting, an airing this summer, though? That's what you need to ask yourself.
Oh, I wish you'd just buy a ticket and go somewhere else.
Dearie me.
With that checkbook.
It's a shame for Sunderland, because if they go down, then Newcastle go up. That'll be obviously gutting for them because not only did Newcastle get bragging rights, Sunderland miss out on those 6 points.
Yeah, they do. Exactly. Yeah, true. What are you looking forward to this weekend, Spelsy?
You know what I'm looking forward to.
I think we're all looking forward to it.
It's the Birmingham Derby and old Redders back in the very, very hot seat away to Aston Villa.
I've got an update on that as well. Guess who's been given the nod?
Go on.
Bondi.
Bondi's
making the trip. Yeah, he's been named as part of the support staff.
Well, someone's got to drive Redknapp up on the day.
I bet his fingers were getting twitchy waiting by the phone. Finally, he's going to ring me.
Come on, his fingers will be covered in driving gloves.
I've already got the engine running.
Kevin Bond cars.
Did you see Redknapp's interview today where he said that he hadn't seen the fixtures, he hadn't seen who they were playing until after he'd taken the job?
It's a load of nonsense. He just does this, doesn't he? I haven't got a magic wand.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even want paying. I don't even want paying if they get relegated. You'd imagine it, well, can't you? Well, if they actually go down. So Harry, you're not what? Well, you mean
probably
written the check already, haven't you?
He's such a wheeler dealer. He's offering a money back guarantee on a management position in football,
which definitely won't happen.
No, quite.
And to be fair, and nor it should. But the man's provide a service.
Do you think that if they stay up, he'll stay on? I'd love it if he did. I'd absolutely love it if he did.
Yeah, I think it'd be great.
Yeah, I think he probably would.
Birmingham City fans, get in touch.
Yeah.
Get in touch. Jim Duffy, who I oddly called Sean Duffy.
Wasn't he in Boyzone?
No, Sean.
Sean
Duffy apparently is a member of the US House of Representatives.
Oh,
or
Shane Duffy was in one of those Irish boy bands.
He was also in Dream Team as well. My ex-girlfriend's brother used to write for Dream Team, and he was always told to keep his hair the same length because of continuity, because they were halfway between filming, and he turned up once and he shaved all his hair off because I got paint in it.
If you don't mind me saying, that's quite a poor story.
What do you mean?
Well, it was
alright, I'll up the ante. He once turned up with two halves of cars.
Two halves of cars.
Yeah. Well, you start with that.
There we go.
Lead with that.
What? Right.
So, I don't even know what that means.
He was in Herbie Goes Bananas. Which paint was it? Because if it was that stuff you bought, no one would have known.
No, exactly.
He wouldn't have needed to know it.
God, he's got really dark hair.
How did he get the cars there?
I think it was like a pickup sort of thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Have you got any more boy band stories? Because I met Mark Owen once. He was very, very.
So
nice.
That wasn't a boy band story.
Yeah. It was sort of.
Yeah, wasn't it? It was about Dream Team.
Cut and shut story.
Yeah. True. You met Mark
Owen.
Oh, take that.
He was very nice. Yeah.
Excellent. Right. Is that a good story?
Yes. Mark Owen's nice. Clearly nice man. Mark Owen.
We could have all guessed that.
It's more of a sentence.
Yeah. I love you, Mark.
A lot of your stories are like that.
You can always tell when it's going to be a poor story from Donny because it always starts with, well, my ex-girlfriend's brother's postman's dad. He had a dog once and he bought that dog off. Bloody.
Well, I was going to be.
Greg Wallace from MasterChef.
I was going to be one of the background artists playing a bit of football on Dream Team, but.
Well, that was never going to happen.
Well, I couldn't. They weren't amazing footballers, were they? You just had to kick a football around, but I couldn't because I had tattoos on my leg. How times have changed.
That's what they told him. It's the tattoos, mate.
Yeah.
The fact he just fell off of the bonnet.
I'm wearing tracksuit bottoms, yeah, but these cameras, they go right through.
I'm just astounded you've got three Dream Team stories.
I know, right?
That is quite impressive.
Bring back Dream Team.
Have you got any more take that stories, Luke?
I wonder what the Twitter's going to consist of this week. Mm.
Yeah.
It's been Dream Team.
Have you ever met Jess and Orange, Luke?
No, I haven't, actually. No, I haven't.
Have you ever met Gary Barlow?
Oh, no, I actually. Do you know what? Technically, I have, because it was at.
Technically, I have.
It was at Capital
going
Radio.
Going to the concert.
Would you want to know? Answer or not?
Well, go on, then.
It was at Capital Radio, and they were all sat around there. But Mark Owen was the only one who said hello to me. That's basically why. So I only counted Mark Owen. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
What about you, Jim? Met anyone of Backstreet Boys?
I have never met anyone from a boy band.
Okay, but you've been in one though.
Yeah.
Jim Duffy. That's where how we got onto this.
Yeah.
He'll serve a 2-match ban for his naughtiness at Easter Road.
Naughtiness.
Okay. Not too bad. He'll take that. I'd have thought.
Take it on the chin.
Have a square go at taking that on the chin.
Yeah, he dishes out a lot on the chin, doesn't he? Yeah. Bennett. There we are. I think we're done,
yes.
Ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the preview show sponsored by Bet365. We'll be back, of course, at the start of next week. Do not forget that live show. You've been absolute mug to miss it.
Promise you that.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Peter.
Goodbye.
Cheerio from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.